Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burwell. Thankful and grateful to God for another opportunity to come before the people of God to share a kingdom empowerment message. I'm grateful to have with me again Pastor Prophet Rodney Beeney, awesome man of God, one that God has anointed to teach his people precepts, principles, standards, the things that we need in order to get really what God has for us. I'm not going to belabor the moment, just thankful to all the listeners, all the new followers. Thank you so much for your support, and I ask that you would just continue to hear what the Lord is speaking through the Empowerment Place, and if you like it, encourage someone else to spend some time with us to learn about kingdom advancement and learn about the things that they need to do within to be the best that God would have them to be. Pastor Beeney, I turn it over to you now to move as the Lord leads. Amen.
Amen, amen. We bless the Lord, and I thank God for this day and thank God for another opportunity, Prophetess Valerie, to be with you on the Blog Talk Radio channel, and I'm excited about, you know, what God is saying, what I'm hearing God say, and how God is moving. I really believe that we're in the midst of a divine moment that we're seeing some things accelerate in the spirit realm, and certainly it is imperative that we correspond with the movement of God. You know, Prophetess, I was brought up in a traditional setting, and certainly I appreciate everything that I was given to me. I never want to bash, I never want to diminish the significance of what, how I began or my beginnings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of us in who came up out of that traditional setting, that traditional background, you know, we weren't really taught about corresponding with God. We were really taught about, you know, waiting on God. And the implication was that, you know, God is going to do this thing. You're just sitting, wait.
Right.
He's going to work it out, you know.
Right.
But, you know, in this dispensation of grace, the mindset has to be, especially when it comes to kingdom, the mindset has to be that we correspond with God. You know, we are spiritual beings. First, we are spirits, and we have a body, and we have a soul, but we are spirit beings. And so we are equipped and designed by God to discern things. We're equipped and designed by God to see, to hear, and to know things in the spirit, and then to respond to that.
Amen.
Before anything is manifest in the natural. And, you know, in this time, it's imperative that we as people of God begin to operate the way we were designed to operate. You know, we look at the prophets of old, especially someone like Elijah, you know, he goes up on the mountain and he has this encounter with the false prophets of Baal. And then as a result of that judgment, you know, he comes down off of that mountain, and there is a time when he's kind of like on the run. And, you know, he's on the run from something that actually he should not have responded to. And that's the one side of Elijah. On the other side of Elijah, when he's on the top of his game, we see him on the Mount of Carmel. Now, this is in the aftermath of judgment being in the land for 3.5 years, and it did not rain. There was a drought. And so now Elijah has discerned that there's a move of God to restore, you know, the land, because the judgment has complete. God is finished with this famine. He's finished with the drought. Now God wants to reverse the process. And so Elijah understands this. He's discerning this. And, you know, 1 Kings 18, I believe it is, it says in verse 41, Elijah told Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Now, we understand he's not talking about hearing in the natural, because it wasn't raining.
Right.
He's talking about discerning rain. He's talking about, I'm hearing something in the spirit that hasn't yet taken place in the natural. And he goes into a posture with God to get further revelation on this movement of God. So he's corresponding with something that he is seeing in the spirit realm before anyone else can even see it in the natural realm. Because, you know, if you follow, you know, through on the following verses, you know, he tells his servant, go up and look. And his servant can't see anything. So Elijah has discerned something. He's seeing and hearing and knowing something by means of the Holy Spirit, by means of the Spirit. And he's corresponding with God in this movement. And this is how we as people of God must operate. We've been designed to operate like this. We don't wait for things to manifest. We don't react to circumstances. We correspond to God by means of what we hear, what we see, and what we know in the spirit realm.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so, this teaching and this information that I'm going to be sharing tonight is part two of what we shared, I think it was last week, concerning the power shifters. And I want to start out tonight by just kind of doing a quick recap of what we talked about last week so that for the sake of those who perhaps haven't had an opportunity to listen to the first session can kind of be up to date with where we are now. I do encourage everyone, if you haven't listened to the first part, Power Shifters, that you go back on the Blog Talk channel and, perhaps at the end process you're giving them instructions how to do that, but go back and listen to the archive recording of that particular teaching. It was called Power Shifters. But tonight, again, we're going to continue talking about that. And we started off in the book of Revelation chapter 12, and we looked at verses 7 through 10. Now, for the sake of time tonight, I'm not going to read the entirety of this again, but it talks about in Revelation 12, verses 7 through 10, how there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought, and it also said the dragon and his angels fought. But it said that the dragon and his angels did not prevail. And said it went on to say that nor was there found a place for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon and his angels represent a ruling spirit in that space. Amen. And when we bring this into the natural realm, we can say there's ruling spirits and predominant mindsets that have inhabited spaces. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Cultures even. And we'll get to talking a little bit about culture tonight. But these prevailing spirits, these prevailing mindsets and these ruling spirits, they have been inhabiting some of these regions for ages. And so when we talk about power shifting, we're talking about displacing the ruling spirits.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about displacing the predominant mindset. We're talking about shifting, changing, moving these things so that an opportunity for the kingdom to advance its agenda, its mindset, and its purpose is created. And so the definition that I gave last week regarding the power shifter is a person that God is going to use to create opportunities for the kingdom to advance its agenda, its mindset, and its purpose. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so that again is the definition of this term that I'm introducing, power shifter. The power shifter, again, is a person that God is going to use to create opportunities for the kingdom to advance its agenda, its mindset, and its purpose. Amen.
Okay.
Now, as we move on, we looked at Psalm 75, verses 2 through 7. We looked at that particular text, and we talked about how in that particular text, God talks about, he exalts one, he puts another down. And God says, I'm the judge. So it also talks about God chooses the time to shift the power. And so when God moves to shift the power, he moves to impact leaders and leadership. So when you're talking about power shifting, you're talking about impacting the mindset of the leader. You're talking about impacting leaders and leadership as a whole, but you're actually talking about displacing, shifting, removing, and changing leaders and their mindset. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So during a power shift, the mindset of a certain leader becomes subject to the person who is of a kingdom mindset. And this is the purpose of God. Let me say that again. During a power shift, the mindset of a certain leader becomes subject to a person who is of a kingdom mind. And this is the very purpose of God. And so I mentioned and I made this statement last week. Well, God is moving those who are kingdom minded into position to affect and impact leadership.
Amen.
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 Amen. And so as we continue to kind of recap what we talked about last week, we use Joseph as a prototype of a power shifter. Joseph is one that God used to, in fact, shift the power. And we looked at this in the book of Genesis, chapter 45. And express, we looked specifically at verses 5 through 11, and where Joseph is actually going to make it known to his brothers his purpose, his agenda, you know, and the reason that things had worked out the way they had worked out. Genesis 45, verse 5 says, "But now," Joseph says, "but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life."
Yeah.
All right, that's a kingdom agenda. That's a kingdom purpose, to preserve life. All right, verse 6, he says, "For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting." And he says in verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity." That's a kingdom agenda, to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
"So that was not you who sent me here, but God.
Yeah.
And he has made me a father to Pharaoh." We got to stop right there and address that. Okay, when you talk about power shifting, what's taking place is God is moving an individual into position again to affect the mindset, the agenda of the person who's already in position as the leader.
Wow.
I mean, this is primarily one of the ways we see this happening, is God moves a person into position who's pregnant with the kingdom agenda, pregnant with the kingdom mindset, and pregnant with the kingdom purpose. And he's going to impact and affect the mindset, the agenda of that person who's in office, or that person who's in position as the leader. Now, he uses the word father here. He says, "God has made me a father to Pharaoh." Now, when you think about someone being a father to someone, you're talking about someone who is in a position of great influence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, what better word to use than father?
Yes.
When you talk about, you know, being someone's spiritual father, you're talking about someone who's in a position to greatly influence you and impact your life. And this is the position that Joseph has been put in by God, by this power shift. Amen? Amen. So he says, "God has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house." Now, that is the second part of this thing that we really need to take a look at, is because when you're talking about being lord of all his house, now it indicates that God has given Joseph access to the resources that Pharaoh is in charge of. So not only now does a power shift position us to affect the leader, as far as the leader's mindset and his agenda, but it also places us in a position to have access to resources. Again, what's the purpose? The purpose is the kingdom agenda,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom mindset, the kingdom purpose, all right? And Joseph spells it out for his individual situation. It was to preserve life. You know, Joseph's purpose was to preserve life to the coming generations of his family and the coming generations of the people of God. That was his purpose. His agenda is going to be carried out by means of accessing the resources of Egypt and affecting the agenda of Pharaoh. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So Joseph advances the kingdom agenda by means of this power shift. All right? He advances the kingdom agenda by means of this power shift. The mindset of Pharaoh is effectively displaced, even though he's still in office. And the reason being, because of what Joseph says here, he says, "God has made me a father to Pharaoh." Isn't that something?
Mm.
So Joseph now is in position to affect the mindset, because basically Pharaoh is turning all the decision-making over to Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, he says, "He's made me lord of his house." In other words, you know, I'm the one making the decisions here. So the kingdom mindset is in place, even though the one who's actually the leader, the Pharaoh, is an upper kingdom mindset. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And finally, the third part that we need to look at, verse 8, the third thing he says there, he says, "He's also made me a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, this again is a kingdom purpose, a kingdom agenda, and a kingdom mindset when you talk about rulership. Rulership is a kingdom agenda.
Mm-hmm.
The world wants to own everything, but the kingdom wants to rule everything. There's a distinct difference.
Yes.
One of the reasons that that the world and a lot of people in the world, a lot of investors in the world, have gotten themselves in trouble in this economy, in this climate of the economy, is because they want to own everything. And so, you know, you go out and you try to buy as many houses as you can because you want to own everything. Mm-hmm. Well, the kingdom doesn't necessarily want to own everything. The kingdom just wants to rule it.
Yes.
It just wants to have rulership, mm-hmm. not necessarily ownership. Ownership, of, you know, when it comes to ownership and not being ownership that is ordained by God, this is when you get in debt and in bondage because this is not kingdom. And so we need to be wise when it comes to rulership versus ownership.
Yes.
In Genesis, God teaches, he says, have dominion. Joseph is having dominion right here, and he doesn't own anything. This is a kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen? He doesn't own any of these resources, but he has access to them, and he's the one in position to make the decisions about how these things are going to be dispersed. This is kingdom, and he's exercising rulership. And not ownership. Amen?
Amen. And when you say that, Pastor Vinny, it makes me think to those, and we've talked about it before, those who on their workplace have been given the assignment of management. The company doesn't belong to you, but you've been empowered and given the assignment to have rulership over maybe a division or a department, but the one who owns it trusts that you're going to make the decision that's best, not just for the people, but for the leader. You know what I'm saying?
So amen.
When you look at that and how, you know, sometimes we wonder, why is it that I'm here? And, you know, is this really going to make a difference? But when you know that God is in the midst of it and God has purpose for wherever we are, and especially if you're in leadership in any realm, that rulership authority that you've been given, you're to utilize it to build the kingdom.
That's absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Prophetess, I'm convinced that, and I kind of spoke to this a little bit last week when we were talking about this, that there's people who do not realize the purpose for where they are. There are people who are in position. I believe there's some in this hour that are being positioned right now. We are being moved into position for rulership. We're being moved into position to shift the power. Mm-hmm. God is setting us up right now. In fact, the Lord spoke to me even this morning. He said the stage is set for some right now.
My God.
The stage is set right now, all right? And God in this hour is going, we're going to see that we're going to gain access to what we need to shift the power. We're going to gain access to what we need to fulfill the intent of God in the earth. And this is power shifting. We're going to get access by means of, you know, how God moves us into position and by means of the impact that we're going to have on people who are already in positions of leadership. So there's some who are being moved into position now. There's some who are already there, but they fail to realize and understand the purpose for which they have come. They're like Esther. You know, Esther is in position. The stage is set mm-hmm. for what she has been sent to the palace to do, and she doesn't even realize it. She's in position, and she doesn't even understand her purpose. She's gone through all the preparation. She's been chosen amongst hundreds of women. She's been selected. And she doesn't understand her assignment, and she doesn't understand her purpose, until her uncle instructs her, you know, hey, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Another way, telling her, you know, you better take a good look at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You better take a good look at this thing as far as why you are in the palace at this appointed time. Amen.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of Esthers who we are in position. We have access to resources. We have access to leadership. Effectively, what has happened with Joseph here is God has turned Pharaoh over to Joseph.
My God, yes.
I mean, it's plain. God has turned Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's resources, he's turned it all over to Joseph. And there are people, prophets, there are people who are going to hear this And they are going to be in that position, and they have failed to understand why they're there. They're like Esther. Somebody had to tell Esther, you know, Mordecai had to tell Esther, let me tell you something, sister. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen? And there is such a thing as the sin of silence. In other words, when it's your time to cry loud, it's your time to step up and fulfill the intent of God, you remain silent. There is such a thing as the sin of silence. Amen? And so I pray tonight that no one commits the sin of silence. That in an appointed time when you're supposed to, you know, make the announcement, you know, in Psalm 40 says, in the volume of the book that is written of me, I have come to do thy will.
Wow.
That's a declaration. God, I present myself to you. I realize that I'm in position. And, Father, I agree with your purpose. I agree with your intent. And I'm ready. I'm here, and I'm ready to do what you have sent me to do. Amen? That's a declaration in Psalm 40. In the volume of the book that is written of me, I have come to do your will. This is the same thing Jesus does in Luke 4, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
You know, he makes a declaration right there that here I am. I'm here. I'm in position. And I'm ready to fulfill the intent of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, we need to pray for the Esthers.
Yes.
We need to pray for those who are moving in position. Well, we need to pray for the Esthers, and, you know, we need to make sure that people realize the purpose for the position that they're in. And this is what the Lord has been really emphasizing to me. You got to realize now, okay, when God moves you into position, prophetess, you have access to provision.
Yes.
But that's not the entirety of the purpose. In other words, Joseph had every opportunity now just to access the provision to meet his own personal need. And that be all that he would pursue. But if he takes that approach, he's going to miss the intent of God. That's not the purpose. And so people need to understand the purpose is not that paycheck that you're getting.
Come on.
That's not the purpose. The purpose is not being fulfilled by you making that six-digit salary. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not, you know, you're not fulfilling the intent of God just by receiving that $80,000 or that $60,000 a year paycheck. That's not fulfillment of the intent of God. Now we got to flip this thing around. We got to flip this thing around. When you move into position to fulfill your purpose, it also gives you access to provision. You know, we talk a lot about Matthew 6, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay?
Yeah.
That's a relevant scripture. Always will be as long as we're talking about the kingdom. But many times, you know, it took me a long time to really get this thing down in my spirit, prophetess, that in order to fulfill that scripture, in order to have that scripture fulfilled and satisfy the requirements of that scripture, I've got to understand, and I've got to make decisions based on purpose.
Yes.
With the understanding now that when I move into position to fulfill purpose, provision is going to be associated with that. Now, we got people who live who take the opposite approach. We make choices based on provision.
Yes.
And so this is where we find, a lot of us find ourselves, we made choices based on provision. So our mentality, our mindset is God is providing for me. This is the means that God is using to provide for me. Well, you know, that might be only a half of the story. The real reason that you're there is to fulfill purpose.
Yes.
And so the paycheck, it's a source of deception for a lot of people because people have the mindset that they're there for the paycheck and not to fulfill purpose. You know, sadly to say, a lot of people's mindset when it comes to purpose always somehow goes back to the church.
Yes.
We got too many people that think that you're going to fulfill your purpose inside the four walls of the church, and you're not.
Mm.
And we overlook the places that God has placed us. You know, we overlook the jobs. situation and the other settings and environments that we've been placed in position where we have opportunities to impact and fulfill the purpose of God. Esther didn't go to the palace just to sit up and look pretty. It wasn't just about her being the new king, the new queen. That was nothing to do with the purpose of God. The purpose was, God, I'm preserving life here. I'm going to sustain my people through this transition. And they're going to come out on top. They're going to be the head and not the tail.
Mm-mm.
And Esther, you have a significant role. I've chosen you to play a significant role in me preserving the posterity of this people through this transition season right here. This is your purpose. Not to get all the gold, not to get all the silver, not to get all the clothing that comes along with being queen. That's just the provision that comes along with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things come along with that.
Yes.
But people, even though we quote that scripture a lot, in our decision-making process, we don't take the right approach because we make choices based on provision first.
Yeah.
We make choices based on provision first. We pursue provision instead of purpose.
Oh, God. And our purpose.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So towards the end tonight, we definitely want to pray for all the Esthers in the audience. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk a little bit more here about the power shift. I want to share a couple of scriptures that I want to just give you these scriptures. We're going to read these scriptures because these scriptures, again, support the power shift and the terminology and this thing that I've introduced called shifting the power shift. Let's look at Isaiah 45. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 45, verse 14. This is going to show us some other things that the power shift is designed to accomplish. Isaiah 45. In verse 14, it says this. It says, thus says the Lord,
mm-hmm.
the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains. They shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other. There's no other God. So a power shift puts the world to work for the kingdom.
My God.
Mm-hmm. See, we're out of position as long as we're working for the world. The kingdom is never designed to work for the world. We've got gifts. We've got grace gifts. And we've got anointings sitting in places in the world just working for the world. See, if the only purpose that I'm serving is to get a paycheck, all I'm doing is using my skill and the grace that's on my life to work for the world. And that was never God's intent. The intent was to shift the power and cause the world and its resources to work for the kingdom. Look at what it's saying here. The labor of Egypt, what the world works for, he says, look, it's going to come to you. I'm going to turn it over to you. And so a power shift will cause leaders, just like I stated earlier about Joseph. Pharaoh's turned over Joseph. It's going to cause leaders to be turned over to us. He says, you know, men of stature, they're going to come over to you, and they're going to be yours. They're going to work for you. Pharaoh is effectively, what Pharaoh has in his possession is now working for Joseph. It's working for the kingdom. This is the power shift. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Isaiah 60. Again, some other supporting scriptures of the power shift. And perhaps some have not looked at it in this light. But tonight, I just want to expand. I just want to open this thing up so that people can see and understand the intent of God. Isaiah 60, popular scripture that we read. In verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. Look at this. It says, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The abundance of the sea speaks to business. The abundance of the sea, you know, in those days, a lot of business, a lot of trade was done on the sea. The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you.
Amen.
Let's jump down to verse 15.
Let me. We've got a caller. I think it's Prophet Ralph.
Okay.
Who wants to come in? Hold one moment.
Sure.
Just keep flowing. I'm listening.
Amen. Go ahead. Praise God. Go ahead, Prophet.
Did you have a question or comment?
He's listening.
Okay. All right. Verse 15. Look at verse 15, Isaiah 60. It says, whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. Now look at this verse. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles. He talked Gentiles referred to the people of the world, people who are out of covenant with God. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk of the breast of kings. You should know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. This has to do, again, with the power shift. God moving to position us and turning the resources over to us, turning the leader over to us so we can affect the way he thinks, the decisions that he's making, even if he's still in position. This is the way the power shift moves. This is the way the power shift works. Amen?
Amen.
So a power shift will cause the resources of the world to be turned over to us. A power shift positions us for kingdom rulership. Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9. Again, some other supporting scriptures. Let's read that. Psalm 2, verse 8 and 9. Again, some additional supporting scriptures. It says, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Look at verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version, but I believe it's the King James Version says, you shall rule them with a rod of iron. He's talking about rulership here, which, again, is a kingdom principle that works along with the power shift, the shifting of the power. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the comments or questions right here.
Amen. It's understand also, Pastor Vina, Prophetess Val, the mindset as you was ministering and God was speaking to me, he said the mindset of the people have to know that God has the hearts of kings in his hand.
Amen.
When they're in ownership position, but God said that I'm give you rulership. So a lot of times it's also the mindset of us as kingdom citizens to know that if our mindsets are not in the correct position, like you say, if we got our minds on provision and not purpose, then we can't access what God wants us to do in that kingdom building institution.
Amen. Absolutely. I believe that you made a very valid point, a very important point, you know, about the mindset and in addition to, the mindset, the understanding has to be there about the difference between ownership versus rulership.
Yes.
And understanding that in the position of being able to rule over something, it's the kingdom approach to it, and we don't have to be the owner. We don't have to be the CEO. We don't have to be the chairman, you know,
yeah,
in order
exactly.
to rule, you know.
Yeah. Because when you go to Luke chapter 9, it talks about when it says, when Jesus come in and he says that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was making he was setting forth a principle to understand that in order to understand that you're in kingdom life, you got to understand there's no private ownership in a kingdom.
Exactly.
Everything belongs to the king. All you are a steward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all a steward does is maintain it till the owner comes back for it.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Occupy till I come.
Exactly.
We've gotten ourselves in a lot of trouble economically by trying to own everything, even the church. There's some things that, you know, the church didn't need to buy. It just needed to use it.
Wow.
But we want to own everything. We want our name to be on it.
Amen.
And so we've gotten ourselves into some economic situations as a result of that approach with this kingdom mindset.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, Pastor Vini, God was showing me this illustration, that's exactly what you just said on Sunday. We always talk in the church about God's glory. And see, glory means reputation. It means nature. But a lot of times what pastors and church people are doing is they're trying to get their reputation. They're trying to get the glory. So
right.
We'll go and we'll get in debt in the church to try to make the church promote our glory.
Right. Wow. Yeah. You know, you talk about
get ourselves in trouble.
Amen.
Because God would not share his glory.
Amen. It's not a kingdom agenda.
No.
No. We're promoting our personal agendas. And you can put yourself in bondage trying to accomplish that.
Exactly.
That's a dangerous place. Amen. So there's a lot of things regarding the mindset of the kingdom mindset that we really need to work at getting ourselves and everybody involved in the advancement of the kingdom to understand. I mean, you know, and certainly we've talked about two key things here tonight. You know, Matthew 6 that a lot of people talk about. Okay, you're not satisfying the requirement of that scripture if you're making choices based on provision.
Amen.
And that's primarily, you talk to the average person, you get a group of people together now, professional people together, and people who are working together, and basically provision has dictated the majority of the decisions that they made concerning their life.
Mm.
Provision dictates what they drive, where they live. Now, let's be honest. If that's the case, that's not what Matthew 6 is saying. Matthew 6 is indicating that, you know, if I am who God says I am, and if I am who I am as a representative and ambassador of the kingdom, there are cars and there are houses and there's provisions that I can have that not based on the provision that I have.
Amen.
In other words, there are cars and things of that nature that I can have that I can't even afford.
Amen. Amen. And when you were saying that, Pastor Vinny, you go back and you look at an ambassador vehicle, and you will read on the tag that says for government use only.
Amen.
And see, the kingdom is a government. So
Amen.
Just like you said, we don't have to be able to afford it because the government provides it for us.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Exactly.
Wow.
Praise God.
So we'll use our paycheck or what we go for, and use that to say, well, I can afford to ride this. And God said, that's not my intent.
It is.
Exactly.
You're there for a purpose. And when you walk in purpose, see, everything that you do, you become, the scripture says, he said, look at the birds. They sow nor reap, but your heavenly Father, your source, your sustainer, provides for them.
That's right.
And in other words, he said, they don't go work for a paycheck.
That's right.
Only thing a bird do is be a bird.
That's right.
And he said, when we get the kingdom mindset, the kingdom agenda, or the kingdom protocol, we understand that our only job really in the earth is to be kingdom representatives.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Absolutely.
And when we get that mindset, then we put pressure on the king. He has to take
Amen.
Care of us. Because now your reputation is on the line.
Amen.
If I'm sick, if I look like I'm in poverty, your reputation is on the line, not mine, because I don't have a reputation, because I'm nobody. I belong to the king.
Amen.
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 Absolutely.
Amen. I like that, Prophet Fauntleroy, because many times the listening audience, they are seeking answers and understanding based on where they are and what they're experiencing in their life right now. And to make a statement that profound in that in and of yourself, you don't have a reputation if you belong to the king.
Amen.
And that's why so many are struggling because they don't belong to the key. They've been caught up in religious activities and religious mindsets, and so they struggle trying to, quote-unquote, keep up with the Joneses, trying to wear everything and have the design this, that, and the other, because the world is dictating to them, you've got to do this in order to fulfill and to be successful and to be seen and to be counted. But when you surrender your all to the King and understand that he takes care of you, that he provides provision for you, he provisions the provision for you, that you don't, it's not even about you anymore. If you are truly his representative, then he's going to shine through you. He's not going to make himself look bad.
Amen. Absolutely.
Exactly. Because when you go over and understand kingdom, a king's reputation is based on how well his citizens are taken care of.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Jesus came down and he said something very profound, and a lot of people missed it. He said, you have not chose me, but I chose you.
Yeah.
In this government of the world we're in, a democracy, we choose our leader. But see, in a kingdom,
right,
a king chooses his citizens.
Right.
And the king is very careful how he chooses them because he knows that his reputation is on the line.
My God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead, Pastor Vena.
I think we're winding down here, I believe, on the time, aren't we, the prophetess?
We've got about 4 minutes, yes, sir.
Amen. Well, let me just read a couple more of these points that I have here in closing. A couple things here. I mentioned how I believe God is moving some in position. Some are already in position. Don't realize it. God is going to use the grace on your life to move you into position. Joseph was summoned because of the grace on his life. What he had built a reputation to be accurate in interpreting dreams, and so he summons and moved in position by means of the gift and the grace. So God is going to use that. God is going to leverage your skill with the grace on your life. So in some instances, it's an actual skill, a job skill, a professional skill that is being leveraged with the anointing that's on your life, which means that you excel amongst your peers because you are working with more than just a natural skill. You have grace. You have oil on your skill.
Amen.
The anointing is being leveraged with your skill. So, you know, you go to bed and you get answers in the night season about complex situations on the job. You come back to the job and you can solve problems.
Jesus.
Because you're working with more.
Jesus.
Wow. So God is going to use that to move you into position.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's going to use what you have already been doing to have an impact to move you into position. This is why I emphasize so much to people in this hour. Understand the grace. Understand the oil on your life. That's what God is going to use to move you into position. You know, so many people, unfortunately, just are caught up in looking at someone else and comparing themselves to other people and trying to be like someone else. And they don't even understand the grace on their life. And God can't use you because that's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, these are some things that God is going to use to move you into position. He's going to use the grace on your life. He's going to leverage that grace with that skill and move you into position. He's going to use what you've already been doing to have an impact. You know, sometimes we need to sit down and look at what has really been working for me in my life. What am I really good at? What do people say about me? You know, grace makes something easy to you. The next person doesn't have it that way.
Amen.
So the next person, you know, prophetess and prophet Ralph, some people have to go to school,
Jesus,
and be trained for something that you got the grace to do.
Yeah.
You absolutely have no training,
mm,
but it comes easy to you.
Amen.
Amen. God is going to use these things to move us into position.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Yeah, whoo, Jesus. Okay, we're done. Thank you all so much for joining. I'm speechless. I'm not really speechless, but as I listen to the man of God tonight, it's like he was talking to me, and I got real quiet. But praise God. Thank you, Pastor Vini. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank
Pastor.
You, Prophet Ruff, for drawing it in. I appreciate that. That was good.
Amen.
I like that. That was good flow. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in. If you didn't catch all of it, go back, and listen in the archive to part one of Power Shifter and then pick up part two. This is a fundamental teaching for those who are in kingdom advancement and want to know more about the kingdom. Take these nuggets and allow them to grow them in you. Join me tomorrow. I'll be back on the air with the message, It's Just Another Day. God bless you. Until next time. Good night.